With climate change occurring at a rapid pace, a worldwide loss of vertebrate species of more than 30% since 1970, and droughts and floods becoming increasingly commonplace across the planet, one of the very important steps an individual, family, corporation, or community can take to help reverse these trends is to establish a native plant garden. Today, we highlight the laudable work of Alry Middlebrook, an artist and professional landscaper from Santa Clara County, California, USA, whose deep love in indigenous plants and the environment led her to become one of the most prominent native plant experts in California. Her book, Designing California Native Gardens, which was co-authored with renowned field botanist Dr. Glenn Keeter, has become the number one best-selling book on the topic. Miss Middlebrook founded the California Native Garden Foundation, a charitable organization which provides information to people looking to design and create their own water-wise gardens with beautiful indigenous plants. Her landscape design firm, Middlebrook Gardens, has helped over 150 people, organizations, and communities live more sustainably by aiding them in starting native plant gardens. Middlebrook Gardens is a conservation-minded entity that has launched the Lose the Lawn Initiative. The project seeks to raise awareness that lawns are not environmentally friendly and to encourage the public to replace their lawns with native garden landscapes, as they are inexpensive, pesticide-free, require little water, and are low maintenance. Ms. Middlebrook now gives us more details on her landscape design firm.
Is a sustainable garden company. The most important part of a sustainable garden company is that we grow and we help people, encourage people to grow native gardens because we want to restore habitat. If we're going to fight global warming, the most significant thing we can do is to have less of an impact on nature and understand the natural world and restore that habitat in our home garden. So that's what we're about. But we also are about other things. As far as protecting the natural world, one of them is to protect watershed. And we want to keep all the rainfall that falls here on the property. We don't want to divert it to the storm drain. So if you look around, you see all these surfaces where water can percolate through. When we first moved here, this whole lot was covered with concrete.
Two of the keys to a successful native garden are grouping plants according to their plant communities and planting them in the microclimate of your garden that most reflects their natural habitat. Environments with hot, dry woodlands, shrublands, and grasslands are called chaparral and are widespread throughout California.
Looking at right now is chaparral, and what we've set up here at Middlebrook Gardens are the five major plant communities of our region in the Bay Area. So a lot of food for the pollinators 12 months a year if you're working with native plants. This plant community grows on west and south facing slopes of the mountains that are closest to the ocean.
Chaparral plants are hardy, adaptable to many areas, and require few resources to flourish.
Now, the unique part about the chaparral community is, after these plants are established, they do not require any water whatsoever. They grow in very poor soils. And they also don't require any fertilizers. And so what that's saying is that this garden is very sustainable because very few inputs by human beings to have a garden that's really simple to maintain, that doesn't use chemicals, that doesn't use water after it's established, and is providing tremendous diversity and wildlife habitat. It's nearly each one of these plants has a specialized pollinator. So when you plant a native garden, you have so much diversity of insect populations.
One of the areas where Middlebrook Gardens has much expertise is the rich world of edible plants indigenous to California. Edible California is the title of Ms. Middlebrook's upcoming book on the subject.
Prickly pear cactus. And these cactus are edible California cactus. And if you look at them closely, they don't have spines on them. And they're used for two kinds of food production. Nopales, which are the paddles, are used, you know, as a green vegetable. And then they also produce a fruit called a tuna in Spanish. And the fruit is used for dessert and for drinks. And you can make wonderful non-alcoholic prickly pear margaritas, and which are a beautiful red color, and we've done that at many parties. And it's good for diabetics as well. The nopale cactus in particular has traditionally been used to stabilize blood sugar, so it's a win-win all the way around. You've got a beautiful plant in your garden, and it's providing a great healthy source of food.
Edible plants also provide sustenance to the animals.
All right, so I'm standing at the entry to our nursery, and this particular plant is a California native edible. This is our wild grape. And if you can see here, there's still some grapes left on it. This is a much more desirable grape to plant in the home garden because it provides wildlife habitat. Now, another benefit of leaving these grapes on the vine is the birds can come and feed on the grapes in the winter. Your native garden will feed the wildlife because it provides food year-round for the plants and pollinators and birds that evolve with it. So it's just so much easier to provide food for all the wild creatures of the world by replacing your exotic plants with the plants that actually evolved in the soils where you live.
When we return, we will meet Middlebrook Gardens client Ms. Betty Pollock, who turned her backyard full of weeds into a native meadow, which led to a big increase in the number of bird visitors. Please stay tuned to Supreme Master Television.
One of the things that we're trying to do is discourage people from planting lawns. A bird thinks of a lawn as concrete because there's no food there. We actually cut the food off before it has a chance to make a seed.
Welcome back to Planet Earth, our loving home for part one of the enchanting world of native gardens with Alarie Middlebrook. We now visit the home of Betty Pollock, who is a client of the landscape design firm Middlebrook Gardens.
We're here in Betty Pollock's garden in Campbell, California. And the reason that we wanted to come to Betty's garden is Betty is a bird watcher. And she had something amazing happen when we started planting more natives. In her garden, more different species of birds started showing up, a whole list of birds. And Betty knows her birds, so we thought we'd talk about what happens when you plant a native garden as far as the birds are concerned.
Every time I come back here, I see something new. I saw an oriole. I've never seen an oriole before. And there were towhees and house sparrows and chickadees, goldfinches. So it's just entertaining seeing all these animals back here.
Okay, Betty, we're in the meadow.
Mm-hmm.
And why don't you tell us a little bit about what it was like before we came and planted the meadow and what you wanted to do? And
well, the meadow, it wasn't a meadow. It was either bare dirt, just dirt and rocks, or it was like weeds this high. So every year I had to have a crew come in, take all the weeds out. It was a huge mess. So she suggested the meadow. And they came in and seeded everything, and you can see that the grass is just great. There's all kinds of plants in here. And really, last summer, it was this high deep in flowers the whole time. It was amazing. I would just sit out here on the bench and just gaze at it. And there were always birds and bees, lots of native bees. And
insects.
It was great.
Yeah.
It was just beautiful.
So how many different bird species do you think you've seen here in your meadow?
I'd say around 15 to 20 different kinds.
Right. And so if you go and look at a conventional lawn like we just saw, and you just got grass and some foundation shrubs around the house, you might see three species of birds in that garden.
I was really surprised. I didn't think anything would grow back there, but look at this.
At home, Miss Middlebrook has cultured a roof garden called a living roof. A living roof is an important sustainability tool in areas receiving much rain because the plants absorb rainwater, thus reducing the potential for floods. And when implemented on the roof of a building, a living roof has also been shown to provide natural cooling for the air around the structure and to reduce air conditioning costs by lessening the indoor air temperature.
We're standing in my garden, and I have a chaparral garden here in this section, and then behind me you probably noticed the living roof. And it's just a small living roof, but I wanted to give an example, especially to my neighbors, what a living roof looks like and why plant a living roof. And one of the most important reasons to plant a living roof is conventional roofs. The water flows off of a conventional roof and ordinarily would go into the storm system. And we talked about wanting to keep the rainfall on site. Well, when you plant a living roof, the plants are actually using the water. And so you're adding oxygen to the atmosphere. You're cutting down on pollution. You're reducing storm water. And the technology of living roofs is so good today that this roof is actually going to last longer than a conventional roof. So there's a lot of very good reasons to plant a living roof. And in some parts of the world, like Germany, or even in America, in states like Oregon or in the Chicago area, you're seeing a lot more living roofs because it's a really economic way to handle stormwater. So in high rainfall areas, like the areas that I mentioned, it makes a lot of sense financially to convert to living roofs.
Please join us next Wednesday on Planet Earth, Our Loving Home, for part two of our program, where we explore a family garden designed to reduce greenhouse gas emissions with Alry Middlebrook. Inspired viewers, it has been a pleasure to share time with you today on our show. Up next is enlightening entertainment after noteworthy news. May your life be filled with ever-healing sights and sounds of nature.
For more details, please visit www.suprememastertv.com/PE.